Thank you for downloading this podcast from CFC Jesus Ministries of Christian Fellowship Church in Chicago, Illinois. Support for this podcast comes from your generous gifts and donations. To find out more about CFC Jesus Ministries or our church, please visit www.cfcjesus.org.
I'm going to talk tonight about how we respond when God begins to change our direction and when God interrupts our life and our plans. Because, be honest, we have plans for ourselves, right? We all have plans, and they're in our head. Maybe you don't have them written down, maybe you do, but we have plans for ourselves. I will get out of high school. I'm going to graduate. I'm going to get my diploma. I'm going to get a job, a good job. I'll go to college. I'll get a job. I'm going to get married. I'm going to have a boy, and then I'll have a girl. I'll stop. I will buy a house after that. But here's the thing. God may have other plans. Maybe he has better plans. Maybe he has different. They're just different plans, you know, for you. There's a man in the Bible that we're going to talk about. You probably already know that God interrupted his life. See? Can you see him? He's the little guy that's about to get chewed up by the big fish. By the way, it's not necessarily a whale. The Bible never says whale. It calls it big fish. But it is possibly a whale. So that's just trivia, nothing more. But God interrupted his life. Now, here's the thing. He had a cushy life. He had a cushy life. And he was a prophet of God. What's not to like? I'm a prophet of God. I give people words. Frida, God says, thus saith the Lord, as unto you, my daughter, my special daughter. And she goes, thank you so much. Here's a hug. I'm a prophet, and I love my job. And God's like, well, there's more. There's more. And I want to say this, that Jonah probably liked his life and his assignment and his cushy life. And then God interrupted him and gave him a very important assignment, a kingdom assignment. But here's the thing. He did not like the assignment. As the song says, he did understand the assignment. I understood the assignment. But I didn't like the assignment. But God's assignments are greater than ours. Now see, Jonah had dreams and goals. But this was not on his bucket list, or this was not on his list of things to do on Thursday. Go to Nineveh and preach and try to get the most wicked and evil people on the earth that day to repent and learn to love God. That's not what Jonah wanted. He wanted to stay in his own church and prophesy to the people that loved him and he loved them. He did not want to do what God asked him to do, even though he clearly heard the assignment. When God changes our plans and we don't like it, sometimes we can start whining and complaining. Or we can get this martyr complex going on where it's like, poor me. Why did God do this to me? Why did God have to pick on me? And, you know, it is so interesting that we blame God about so many things. In our yard tonight, I had a beautiful planter in the gazebo. We sit in the gazebo, and you know, I've got some swivel chairs and the egg crate chair Sandra got me, and we all sit out there and sip iced tea. And I had a real pretty plant that a girlfriend gave me, and it broke. It broke. We went outside, and the planter was just broke. And my mother asked at dinner tonight, "Who broke the plant?" And I knew it was the wind, and I said, "God did." And she laughed, and I said, well, doesn't he get the blame for almost everything that people, if they don't have anybody else to blame, they're going to blame God. God sent the wind, God brought, and we do that. So a lot of times we say, God, poor me, why did you do this to me? So when God interrupts life, we have two choices. We can whine and complain and say no to God and rebel against the plan of God, which I don't advise, or we can yield to the plan of God for our life, and we can see miracles happen and take place in our life. Now, I'm going to talk to you real quickly and go through this list of people who God interrupted their life. And by the time I get through this list, you're going to be sitting there going, God's probably going to interrupt me any minute now. Get ready for it. Because God does it at the, and may I say this, at the most, at the least expected time, at the most unexpected time of your life, God goes, now, guess what? You are pregnant. Congratulate. And you're like, what? What? No plans. That's God. That's God. He can interrupt your life because he's God. So Moses had an interrupted life. Now let me explain to you about Moses. Moses was tending sheep in the Sinai desert. He was in the desert when God called him in Exodus 3:4, and he said this, Moses, Moses. Now, God does that for a reason also, and you've heard me say this. God will call your name often twice so that you can't pretend that you did not clearly hear God. God, did you say Moses, Mark, Mike? No, Moses, Moses. He calls twice. And yes, it's you I'm talking to. So Noah's life, let's talk about Noah. Noah's life was interrupted. Listen to this from Exodus 6:13 and 14. And God said to Noah, the end of all flesh is come before me. The earth is filled with violence, like today, people, violence through them. And behold, I will destroy them with the earth. So make thee an ark, make you, you're the one to make it. And by the way, this is a double meaning. Make you an ark of gopher wood. He's going to be making an ark for him, and he's the one going to be making the ark, but it's for him. Of gopher wood, rooms thou shalt make in the ark, and you shall pitch it within and without with pitch. That's like a tar stuff that makes it sealed really, really good. It's the best seal they had of the day, and it was very, very good. Abraham's life was interrupted. Now, what I want to say about Abraham is his life was interrupted at age 75. Surely you can retire now. Surely you can do some things for yourself, right? Take your family on some great vacations. You've got a nest egg now and you can retire. But age 75, God decides to interrupt Abram. He was called to leave his friends and his family, and he was asked to go to a place that God was not even willing to tell him where. How about that? God says, I want you to go. I want you to leave. Well, where? I'm not going to tell you that yet. Like, God, it's a faith walk. But he asked Abraham to leave. But this was interesting because it goes against our flesh, right? Here's what he said. You are to go to a place that I'm not going to tell you about yet. I'm just asking you to go. That's the first step, is to go. I'm asking you to leave. Leave, leave, leave. Take no one with you. All he could take with him was, he was told, was his immediate family, which was Sarah. Leave the others behind. You can imagine Abraham going, what? No more, I thought families belonged together. No more parties with the cousins. No more aunts. No more birthdays. Nothing like that. Nope. Just go. Leave them all here. It doesn't make sense, does it? But it kind of does, and I'm going to address that in just a few seconds. In the case of Moses, Noah, and Abraham, we see that each of these leaders said yes to God. But Moses was someone who also, we're going to see about Jonah tonight, was a severe case, but Moses did a little bit of bantering with God. He did some arguing with God. I can't do that. I don't have what it takes. I stutter. So here's what I'm going to say. Is the best excuse you have for not doing what God has told you to do that you don't like to talk in front of people? Is that the best you can do for an excuse to God? You know what? God's not buying it. But I give him credit because in the end he said yes. Noah, I give high marks to because he said an immediate yes and started building. Okay, I give him some high marks. Noah gets no real arguing, no real hesitation. He's obedient. He's not perfect. None of us are. But he is obedient. He said a solid yes to God. When God interrupted his life, he said a solid yes. Now, Genesis 6:22 says this, and this is what we need to take a lesson from Brother Noah. Noah did everything just as God commanded. Lord, give us the strength and the grace to do everything that you have commanded us to do, right? That should be a prayer that we pray. Lord, give us the courage and the grace and the strength to do everything that you ask us to do, even if it's uncomfortable, even if we don't like our assignment, even if it means you have just interrupted our plans and our life. Abraham was obedient. Now, we're going to talk about him for a second. His father, Terah, had actually been called to do the same thing, to leave and take his family, but He only got as far as Haran, remember, and stopped. And I always said in my teaching, Haran is not God's plan. Because halfway, that was Haran was approximately on the map halfway to the place where God was taking Abram. So think about this. God doesn't want you to go halfway. But he quit moving forward. He only went halfway, and there he settled. And let me tell you something, and he stopped. Sometimes we go so far, and then we stop. We know God has told us to go farther, go deeper, but we stop. And doing half of what God says is complete disobedience. You can't serve God halfway. You can't do half of what God says. And that's complete disobedience because he served God halfway, half-heartedly. And he died outside of the promised land. When Abraham was interrupted by God, he immediately obeyed. Now, I love how God will interrupt our life, but God did not just interrupt Abraham's life. God also interrupted Sarah, his wife's life. And she had wanted a child, and we know the story that she becomes pregnant at 90 years old. Joseph had an interrupted life. You know what Joseph was doing? He was living as the favored son of Jacob. He had the top bunk. He literally had everything a kid could want. You know, he's the youngest as of now. He's from the favored what? He has everything. Joseph has this great life. Daddy loves me. And I stay home. He makes me this beautiful coat of many colors, you know, probably rainbow colors. He's got this awesome coat that his father has handmade for him because he's the youngest. He's got this great life. And all of a sudden, seemingly out of nowhere, he is being sold to the Ishmaelites, basically as a slave, after having been thrown into a pit by his own brothers who really would have liked to have killed him. One of them kind of, sort of, maybe saved him. But actually it was God who saved him because they really didn't want to save him. That he did not have a clue that this was going to happen, that his life was going to be interrupted. I think of our brothers and sisters in Ukraine tonight. They had no clue. Do you know that their life has been interrupted, but that God still has plans for them? God has kingdom plans for them. And he can use that interruption because life sometimes just happens. But Joseph had an interrupted life, and this would not be the last time his life was interrupted either. Can I say that when I'm talking about God will interrupt your plans? He may do it more than once. He may allow things in your life that are an interruption. Let's say that God does not cause every interruption, but God will allow things to happen that interrupt our plans because he still has better plans. And these things will build our character, and hopefully they will draw us closer to him. I know that when Joseph was in the pit, and I know that when Joseph was in the prison, that he talked to God, because it's common sense. You would too. You would talk to God. He knew God. He had been taught of God. And, you know, we learn things through hard times. I was sharing yesterday about food poisoning, which I still have not. Yesterday, I made a critical mistake. I went to an Olive Garden after Saturday night of severe food poisoning. And last night, food poisoning was again showed up. So I am a slow learner. But during that, I learned to draw closer to God. As I lay last night on the cold floor in the bathroom downstairs, because it felt good to be on the cold, I talked to God. I talked to God. You know, God, can you help me? God, will you help me? I know you will. I know you're here. I know you're with me. And I learned that I need to be more diligent about what I put in my body, all kinds of things. But there are things that happen in life that we don't control. They're out of control things. But God is still in control. He's a God who is still in control. He is still a sovereign God. He is the authority. And we've given him permission to interrupt our lives. We've given him permission to allow anything that he thinks will be for our good. His plans are higher. Let me tell you something about another interrupted life. Mary. Here we have a 17-year-old young girl engaged to be married. What kind of better life is that? I'm planning a wedding. I'm looking through wedding magazines when an angel shows up at my house, and the rest is history. She's going to have a baby now. This was, I promise you, I know this, was not her plan. This was not in her plans. This was a life that God clearly interrupted her as a teenage girl, because his ways are not our ways. His thoughts are not our thoughts. And I'm setting a foundation tonight for the study to come. We must know that God is at some time in our life going to come and ask us to do something that we had not planned on doing, that we had not expected. Something, and by the way, it may likely, most likely will be something we do not want to do, because God wants to challenge you to greatness. He wants to see who you really are. Are you really a servant of Jesus Christ? And when you said yes to me, did you really mean yes? Or did you mean when it's convenient, when I want to, when it doesn't conflict with anything else in my life, I say yes, God. He wants to put you to the test, and he will, by interrupting your life. God may ask you to give a monetary gift that is great, greater than you would ever want to do. He may ask you to help someone who actually hurt you in the past. He's trying to challenge you. He's trying to see if you did mean, yes, God, I will obey. He may ask you to leave a job you loved. He asked our father many years ago. He was the superintendent of the Illinois Central Railroad. Most of you know that. He had offices downtown and in Bloomington, and he ran this end of the railroad. And God interrupted his life and called him. He had called him at 17 years old, but it was the first time that Dad said a solid yes. Because here's the thing, he was preaching some. There were other people, but he was preaching some and he was doing some. But God asked him to leave the job. You know, this means you're going to be all in. This means you're going to make a sacrifice to do something. And God asked him to do that. And I am personally thankful that he said a solid yes, because he was in line for a promotion. Maybe that's you. Maybe you could say legitimately, I don't understand, God, why you are doing this. I do not understand why you're asking me to do this. And we'll talk, of course, later about Isaac and Abraham. Think about this. But here's the deal. He's the God who gave you the job, isn't he, in the first place? So he can ask you to give up the job. He has a right to do that if he has a different assignment for you. Do you think that Abraham understood when God gave him this child after so many years and after all they went through with Hagar and Ishmael, and God gave him this promised child, and he said he's going to raise him up and make nations out of them, and then God goes, give him back? Did you mean it when you said yes, Abraham? Did you mean it when you said, I'll do anything, God? I'll give you anything you ask for. Did you mean that, or did you not mean that? Because God has a right to do that. He may say, will you give it up? Now you have it. I gave you the career that you asked for. Will you give it back? Now will you give it up for something better? And when we choose to follow God, we can't ask God to go with our plans. We have to submit to his plans. And let me say this in language we can all understand. Hey, kids, you signed up for this. You signed up for this. When you knelt at the altar and you said, Lord, I surrender all. When you sing that song yesterday in church, when we gathered here and sang that song, I've decided to follow Jesus, though none go with me. No turning back. I've decided to follow Jesus. You signed up for this, to follow God, not for God to follow your plans. You signed up for you to follow God. And so I have a homework assignment. I'm telling you, we're doing a foundation tonight. A homework assignment tonight is that you're to go home and consider, how has God ever interrupted you, your life? How did you respond? What has God allowed to happen in your life that caught you unaware and unprepared, but God was interrupting your life? What hard thing has God asked you to do in the past? What relationship assignment has he allowed you to be involved in? In other words, who has he sent in your life that's hard? And has he asked you to leave a relationship that you didn't want to leave? It wasn't healthy. You didn't want to leave, but God asks you to do that. Janice shaking her head, yes. We might as well shake our head, yes. You're not just Janice. Has God asked you to walk away from that? Sometimes walking away is hard. It's easy to stay because that's our habit. That's comfortable. But God has a plan, and he makes the rules. We follow the rules, but God makes the rules. We don't make the rules. We don't make the plans and then ask God to follow us. So God did ask Abraham to leave his family, and it sounds so wrong. Wouldn't you think that God would say, hey, Abraham, stay with your family, stay with the cousins, stay with the aunts, stay with the uncles. I know they're idol worshipers, but someday they'll come into the kingdom. Why didn't God say, just stay here and be a godly example? Let me tell you why, because God knows things and sees things that we don't know. God sees things behind the scenes. Those people, let me tell you something about them. They were hardcore idol worshipers. Their hearts were hardened. They were bitter. They served false gods, and they knew it, and they knew already of Terah and Abraham's example. And the reality is that, let me tell you a secondary reality. We are influenced to stay around those kind of people. And God's seen things that Abraham and Terah didn't. And he said, it's time for you to leave. Could it be, I'm submitting this to you tonight as a class, could it be that he saw that they were being influenced, that they were looking at those idols, taking a second gaze every time the idol passed by? Could it be that they became complacent and apathetic toward the fact that there's idol worshipers here? Could it be that when they passed by the golden Buddha, they tipped their hat? You know, God knows things. So he said, you've got to leave these relationships. And yes, they're family, but I'm asking you to leave. And maybe you'll be the example, because when you leave idols behind, maybe those people that are watching you, they will eventually say, I'm going to leave too. You know how I can prove that? Ruth in the Bible. I can tell you about Ruth in the Bible. When Naomi came, she said, I'm leaving too. So maybe that's why God, there could be a million reasons God asked them to leave. But Abraham said yes. But you could easily make a case for, well, I don't think that God's saying that because God doesn't want me to leave my family behind. All the cousins, all the aunts, families belong together, and it just doesn't make sense. It makes sense if God says to do it. The end of story. It makes perfect sense if God's saying it. If someone else tells you to leave your family, probably don't do that. But if God tells you to leave your family, there's a reason, and it's likely that they were being influenced, and it's likely that they had already ministered and these people were not listening. So, you know, maybe you thought that in your life, you know, I've heard young ladies say, you know, I want God to send me someone. You really don't want to do things, enter into relationships on your own. You really do want to wait on God and God's promises, you know. But you could be saying, when is it my turn, God? When is it my turn? I just encourage anyone like that to stay faithful, because look at Sarah. She had that child at 90 years old. Anyone waiting on God, stay faithful to the assignment that you're in right now. And if you do, God will give you greater things, because God knows the desires of your heart, and he knows your secret dreams, and he has a perfect plan for your life. But many times, sometimes in the waiting, we're uncomfortable. When things don't go our way, we're uncomfortable. When God starts challenging us. So tonight, Jonah is such a man. He did not expect God to interrupt his cushy life, and his story actually is a story worth telling as we get into it for just a couple minutes tonight. It's a serious story, and it's a funny story. They make toys, Jonah toys, because it is funny. There's a toy out there that's a fish and a Jonah, and that's kind of like that, you know, because it is funny. But it causes you to think, doesn't it? Now, let me begin by saying that the big fish, nowhere in the Bible, does the Bible say it could have been a whale, but it just says big fish. I tend to believe that it was just a big fish and not a whale, and here's why. I kind of have a theory in my heart, and this is just me. It doesn't say this in the Bible. But since God called it a big fish, there is an implication, theologians say, that a big fish means there was only one. And if you dig into the Hebrew, there was only one created. This is what I believe, that God made that fish. This is funny to me. When I started praying about this and thinking about this and studying the Hebrew and the Greek on each one of these words, and discovered that it was a fish, one fish ever, I started thinking, this is hilarious. God, did you seriously custom make a fish to swallow just Jonah just for that purpose? You know, all of creation has a purpose. Did you know that? All of creation has a purpose. Every blade of grass and every snowflake has a purpose because it's of God. God could create this fish and go, your purpose, swallow that guy. He's running from me. Go get him. That's why I created you. You know, God does have a sense of humor, doesn't he? But if you ever study a fish, you're going to be very... But the fish, I want to say, is not the main character. And Jonah is not the main character of this short little book of only four chapters. Neither are the main character. Although, I must say, I find the antics of Jonah very, very amusing. But before we even think of criticizing Jonah and the things he did, at least... ask yourself the hard question, have I ever resisted God? Have I ever rebelled against the plan of God? Have you ever been upset at something God asked or required of you to do, even if you see it in his word, like love your neighbor, pray for your enemies? I don't want to do that, God. Love someone hard to love. Tithe. Speak up against something that's wrong. God may ask you to speak up against something that's wrong. Have you ever said, I don't have to do that. I don't want to do that. There's freedom in Christ. Let me tell you, every chapter in Jonah has the grace and mercy of God all over it. Jonah's four chapters, but it's four powerful chapters. And, you know, most people, when they think of the story of Jonah, the first thing they think of is Jonah and the big fish. But a man named G. Campbell Morgan said this, we as believers have become so enamored with the big fish that we've lost sight of the big God. We've become so into, this is about a big fish swallowing a man, that we forget that the story is not about the big fish, but our big God. So think about that for a minute. The little book of Jonah, little angry Jonah, little rebellious Jonah, big fish, great God. But there's some interesting things about the book of Jonah. First of all, I want to say that he was a prophet. He already was in ministry, so he had no excuse for rebellion, right? You're already in ministry. None of you have excuse for rebelling against against God. Jonah is one of the minor prophets, and again, I want to repeat that we have the major prophets in the Bible and the minor prophets in the Bible. And minor does not mean less important. Minor means less in content. So Jonah is a minor prophet because it has four small chapters. So that's the only reason. And sometimes, may I say, less is more. Can I say that? But this book is equally as powerful as the major prophet, books of the major prophets. All of God's word is important and powerful. Also, most of the prophets were writing when the other prophets, you want to understand that the other prophets of God wrote messages or spoke forth messages to people, right? The books of the prophets were saying, this is thus saith the Lord to you, unto you. This is a book where God is speaking to Jonah. He's not giving a prophecy. God is speaking to him, talking to him. And also, Jonah, God gave Jonah this assignment, and someday I really want to shake Jonah, crazy dysfunctional Jonah like the rest of us, and say, you were a prophet of God. Did you not know what you signed up for, buddy? Did you not get this, that you work for God, that God is your authority? Also, Jonah is the only prophet who was given an assignment by God and ran from God and ran from the assignment. The other prophets did not do that. They fulfilled the assignment. They did not run from God. They did not run from the assignment. So congratulations, Jonah. Everyone did what they're told but you. So we see rebellion in Jonah. And here's the thing. Although these other prophets did so well, we are actually, if we're to examine our heart, we're more like Jonah, aren't we? We are the other prophet that ran from God. And that's the uncomfortable truth. We don't want to say out loud that God, no, I'm not going to do that. But in our hearts, we say, no, God, I'm unwilling to do that, don't we? I will not go and ask that person for forgiveness. That means, God, I'm rebelling against your word, doesn't it? I will not forgive that person means I'm rebelling against your word. When God tells you to do something, if he tells you to tithe, and you're going to, no, I'm going to give this and this, I won't tithe. That means I'm rebelling against God's word. So many things. When God gives us a command in his word and we say no, we're rebelling. So if God tells us that we should give our testimony on a Sunday night and we say, God, I just simply don't want to do that. Think about it. Think about it. Sometimes we're unwilling. Now, I'm not saying everybody has to do those things. But if God puts something on your heart and you know that you've heard from God, which we're going to talk about in 2 minutes here as we're running out of time, but maybe outwardly we're not running from God, but inwardly we're running from God in our hearts. Has God given you any hard assignments lately? And, you know, since we can be honest, I'll share my testimony. My plan was absolutely not to go to Nineveh, and it certainly wasn't to go to 59th and Tripp and become a pastor. My mother and I were talking about this at dinner tonight as we recounted a conversation that I had had with my father many years ago in telling, we were talking about coming to church, should children come to church and should they be forced to come to church. And she remembered a time when I was getting close to 18 and I told my father, I said, when I become 18 years old, I will definitely not be going to church anymore as an adult. That days are over. And he informed me that if I lived in his house until I was 69, I would be going to church. And I told my mom, I'm 65 and 4 more years, I would have got to quit if I wanted to. He said, you will be going to church. And I said, well, not after I'm 18. And I said, and FYI, based not like that, but I said, and if I was going to go to church, it will not be this one. And as God has a sense of humor, I've basically never left this one. This is the one I didn't want to go to, Nineveh. This was my Nineveh. So, you know, I had some great plans for my life. I mean, I used to have a list, you know, that I had lots of things on the list, and this wasn't on the list. This did not make the cut. It wasn't number 101, nothing. But there's a verse in the Bible that we all know well, Jeremiah 29:11, for I know the plans I have for you, says the Lord. I have for you. I know the plans. I have plans for you. Can we catch that? Says the Lord. Plans for good and not for evil. Plans to give you a hope and a future. So let me translate that verse as I've translated it before. And it is correct translation, by the way. For I know the dreams I have for you, says the Lord. My dreams for you are good dreams. My dreams are not bad dreams and nightmares. They're good dreams for you. And I'm going to give you a hope and I'm going to secure your future. That's the verse. You have a secure future. And those dreams that you have, you can put them aside. And people always tell me, go for the dream. Pursue your dream. I strongly disagree. Pursue the giver of the dream. Don't pursue your own dream. You will crash and burn. Pursue the giver of dreams. Only if God has given you a plan and a dream and an assignment. So we're going to start our study, and we're only going to get to 2 verses, believe it or not. Jonah 1:1, now the word of the Lord came to Jonah, the son of Amittai, saying, first, let's do this quick. This story, people everywhere say that this big fish story is a parable. It is not. That it did not really happen. It did really happen. That it is false. It is not. It is truth in the word of God. It's an actual account of a real man who walked this earth that you're walking on tonight. There is too much information here for it to be anything less than truth and a true account. Any parable that Jesus told, and Jesus taught in parables, does not name people, does not give given names. Jesus used parables, they're called paraboles, or examples, in teaching his disciples and followers, and there were never any given names used. Here's what Jesus would say, and a certain man. Or a certain woman, because this would apply to any in our lives. He was trying to teach us as disciples. He did not give dates. He did not give times. He did not give the places. Jesus would not have spoken one false word. Not one. So this man, Jonah, is a real man. He has a real father. His name is Amittai. We have a Jonah. We have an Amittai. We have some places, Nineveh. We have dates, names, and places. I love that there are two miracles in this very little first verse. Doesn't seem like it, does it? The first miracle is the fact that God would speak to man, that God will speak to us, that God will speak to us and give us assignments, that he will talk to us, that we will hear from God. If you ever doubt, will you hear from God? You do hear from God. You will hear from God. If you tell me you're not hearing from God, I'm telling you, I will look you in the face, say you are not listening. You are not listening because you need to be reading the word and reading it out loud, and you will hear from God. The second is the fact that the second that Jonah would hear God speak, because first of all, that God would even dare to speak to us. Do you know what an honor it is that God, the creator of the universe, the one who spins galaxies, the one who hung the full moon up the other night, that God will speak to us as mere man, his child? That is love. The second is that we could hear him speak, that God has allowed us the ability to hear the voice of God even in our hearts. As we read his word, that we hear from God. Very few have heard the audible voice of God. I know that Frida here has, and I believe her, as I say, 150%, because when she told me that she heard from God and I asked her, what did God say? She said, he called my name, and that is exactly what God does in the word of God. When he speaks, he calls her. So I know she has heard the audible voice of God. I have not heard the audible voice of God, but I have heard clearly the voice of God in my spirit. I know it. And God still speaks. We need to be ready and listening. But here's the thing with listening. We can hear God, but that doesn't mean we're going to listen to God. Because listening is not a physical, hearing is a physical, is something that's physical. We all hear, but we don't all listen. Because listening is hearing with the intent to obey, to do. Hearing with the intent to obey is listening. My father did not say, did you hear me say, take out the trash? He said, are you going to listen to me? He knew I heard him say, take out the trash. Why did he say, are you going to listen to me? Couldn't I have said, I did listen to you, I did hear you? No, he didn't say, did you? He said, are you going to listen to me? That means, are you going to follow through with what you heard? You already heard me say it. In the same way, sight and vision are not the same thing. You go in a doctor's office, he's not checking to see if you have sight at all. He knows you had sight. You didn't knock over things coming in the room. But vision, he's checking to see distance, measuring how far can you see. God's given us sight, but God's also given us vision. God's given us the ability to hear, but he's also expecting us to listen. So there are two things. So are we listening? But here in the second verse is where God interrupts Jonah, and he says, arise, go to Nineveh, the great city, cry out against it, for their wickedness is coming up against me. And God is clearly talking to Jonah. There's no one else in the room, so to speak. And God, if God gives you an assignment and you know it's for you, you need to say, I'm going to obey that. Yes, Lord, like Noah said, I'm going to do it. And like Abraham, I'm going to get up early in the morning and we're going to get down to business. We're going to start it. Because I'm going to say something as we get ready to close tonight. When God interrupts you, it's not really an interruption. He has the right to interrupt us. When we place the right priority on God, it's no longer an interruption, but a beautiful surprise. It's interesting how we view God and what we will or will not do for God and how serious or not serious we are about God. There was a woman named Campbell Brown, and she was in Hong Kong, and she was doing a report on Buddha. And this was a place where she had to climb to see the Golden Buddha. And she had to climb up 129 stairs to go where they would pray to Buddha. And so she was asking, are you telling me that people regularly come daily to climb these 129 stairs and pray to Buddha? And they said, well, yes, that's exactly what we're saying. They climb the 129 stairs. And while they're climbing up, they talk to their God. And they get closer and closer. I thank God that I don't have to climb up to get to God, that he climbed down and he came for me. I thank God that he came to me, and I serve the living God. And our God is not like the false gods of this world. And so it's a serious thing, and we're going to talk about this in the book of Jonah, that the Bible talks about those who serve gods that have eyes, but those gods can't see. They have ears, but those gods can't hear. We should count it an honor that God speaks to us, that we hear from God, that he can hear us when we call. We should count that such a high honor. And in the days ahead, we're going to see exactly why God interrupted Jonah and said, I need you for this assignment. It's because these people were worshiping idols and they were being harmed and hurt. God does not desire that any should perish at all. And he wants to use us to keep that from happening to people. You may be the only person between someone and hell. Did you know that? You might be the only person standing between a person and them going to hell. I'd rather not walk people to hell. I'd rather stand and block it and say, not on my watch, you're not going there. You're not going there. I'm going to do everything in my power to see that you don't go there. And I don't care if you're someone who hates me. If I can stop you from going to hell, I owe you that much. I owe you to tell you the story of Jesus. Let's stand and go before the Lord tonight. He is a good God. He is an awesome and wonderful God. I could never thank him enough for what happened in service yesterday and how powerful that service was. God has just been moving in this place, and he's doing a new, fresh work inside us. There's an excitement. Father, we just thank you in the name of Jesus for your word, Father God. Lord, we thank you for the lessons that we can learn from these people in your word, Father God, that you've given us their stories, Father God. And it helps us, Lord, to see what we should do, what we shouldn't do. Father God, how foolish we can be and what we need to change, how much we need you, Lord, and how awesome it is to be called and chosen, Father, to be a part of your kingdom, that you would ask us to partner with you, Father God. That alone is so awesome. That you would even give us an assignment, Father. We thank you for that tonight. So, Lord, we're going to say this tonight. We're going to tell you, Lord, now from our hearts, feel free to interrupt us. Feel free to wake us up at 2, 3 in the morning, Father God. Just like last night, I had someone call me at 2 o'clock in the morning and say, I need help. I need prayer right now, Aunt Pam. I need prayer. I need help. And it's late. Let God interrupt you. Be ready and show grace when that time happens. Because God's going to give you an assignment, I promise you. Thank you for coming out tonight. And we are going to continue on this next week. So come back and join us.
Thank you for downloading this podcast from CFC Jesus Ministries, a Christian fellowship church in Chicago, Illinois. Support for this podcast comes from your generous gifts and donations. To find out more about CFC Jesus Ministries or our church, please visit www.cfcjesus.org.